And again, if you want more information about the Bible Conference in Detroit, Michigan, August 19th, just let me know, and I will get all that information out to you and all the speakers that's going to be on there. In case you didn't catch them all, I'll send you a flyer about all the brethren that's going to be on there teaching on our sonship in Christ. Okay, again, let's get ourselves on the way. If you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8, let's take a look at verse 14. Because what we're looking at is we're going to be looking at the difference between the adoption of sons and, as Paul says, the adoption of children. We looked at a little preview of it last week, how Paul would, he says, adoption of children in Ephesians chapter 1, and he also says adoption of sons. And then sometimes he even comes along and says, as dear children or the dear sons and things like that. So let's take a look at the differences there is, or if there is a difference. Let's take a look at the matter at hand here. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I want to take a look at what's being said here, what Paul is it's saying, because back and forth you see it says the children, you see it says the sons of God in verse 14. Then it comes along and says we are the children of God over there in verse 16. Then it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Then it comes along down in verse 19, it says sons of God. Then verse 21 says, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, it can sound confusing, and some might look upon it and say, well, you know, Paul, he just means to say sons or children, you know, same thing, but he's just meaning to say it differently because. But when you're looking at this here, you're looking at different aspects of our being who God has called us to be. And the reason why I wanted to look at this ahead of time is because we're getting ready to get into different doctrine, a different set of doctrine here in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. We've been going over the issues of Romans 8, verses 26 to 28, okay? We've been going over that doctrine. In verse 29 here, if you just come on down to verse 29, and, you know, we're not going to deal with this, but just want you to read what's going on here. This is why we're speaking of this now. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I think it's really essential to go over this doctrine, because our being conformed to the image of his son is something that is taking place now. The conforming is being done as we speak, as we are taught, as the Holy Ghost teacheth, as the Holy Ghost speaketh expressly on the pages, from the pages of the book here. We are being taken through a doctrinal curriculum. And I'm not afraid to use that word, that some people that talk against the ones that teach sonship, they say, well, they use the terminology of curriculum. No, but it is a curriculum. You are being taken. If it wasn't, if God didn't have a designed way, that's what a curriculum is. A curriculum is a designed studies. It's designed, it's a way that you feel that the student ought to best benefit from what you're teaching. You give them a set of curriculum. You give, you don't just haphazardly throw everything out there and tell them to pick and choose how they should be taught. We see that in math, in school. Math doesn't just start off at geometry. You have to be taken on a specific milk-to-meat education. And that's what we've been given. From Romans through Philemon, it's laid out in that way. You don't have Galatians first because it was written first, and then Thessalonians because it was written next. Then the Corinthians, you don't have that because that'll be haphazard learning. If you're reading starting from Romans through Philemon, you see there's a progression. You start off in when you get to 1 Corinthians, there's reproof and correction. It's babe doctrine. It's milk doctrine. You can't give them Thessalonian doctrine right there and then go off into Corinthian doctrine. So, to make a long story short, that was a little commercial there. But this is why we're going over this here, because we need to understand what's going to be said here in verses 29 about being conformed to the image of Son, and that Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. Well, what does that many brethren mean? Among many other sons, among many other ones who are thinking like God thinks, doing things God's way, working together with him in what he's doing. Firstborn, the brethren is going to be ones who are sons, as being spoken of here in verses, verses 14 on down, ones that are being led by the Spirit. So, again, it's highly vital that we went there. Now, come on back to verses 14 through 21, and we're going to take a look at some things that's mentioned here and why that's being said, children or sons. Okay, and again, let's start off at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this is, you have to understand, this is conditional. Some people might say, Paul is not saying, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the justified of God. That's not what he's saying here. Because only a justified individual is going to be ones that are going to be able to be led by the Spirit. You know, you're baptized into the Spirit the moment you trust in the Lord and Savior. Paul already went over that doctrine in chapter 5. He doesn't need to go back over it again. This is talking about sons. That's why it says, for as many as are led. Because all saints aren't going to be led by the Spirit. They're not going to allow themselves to be led by the Spirit. They're going to want to keep putting themselves under that bondage, under the bondage of the world. They're going to want to observe days, and we're going to look at that over in Galatians. They're going to be ones who's going to want to go after this world. But Paul, the ones that Paul is saying that they are the sons of God are ones that are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit. The ones that are receiving that spirit of adoption. The ones that want to cry, Abba, Father. And verse 15, we're going to deal with verse 15 here. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, you see what he says here, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And see, that's going to be talking about, with Israel, they were under a fear-based system. If you will, then I will. That's how the Lord says. Or if you don't, then I will punish. Well, that's partly what's being spoken of here. And about that, what we have received, the spirit of adoption. That's what we have received. Now come over to Galatians. Let's come over to Galatians. Let's take a look at some things here. Matter of fact, we'll deal with Galatians, and then we're going to come back to Ephesians. We'll come back to Romans there. But let's come to Galatians, and let's take a look at verse. Let's take a look at verse 22. Let's look at verse 22 here. But the scripture of, did I say chapter? Yeah, Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians 3, verse 22. But scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now I'm going to stop there. And you notice what's being said here, what Jesus Christ has given by faith. And that's what we have. It's a purchased possession. We've been given that promise by faith. Okay. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. I'm pretty sure we all understand what that means there, what that law was for. It was to show that there's none righteous, no, not a one, that all are guilty before God. That's what it was there for. Okay, so verse 26, notice what it says here, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, now this idea of us being children of God, this is saying that we're children of God by faith, which is saying that because you trust in what Christ done for you, you are of the household of God. You are an heir of God because you're justified. And that's plain and simple there. And it says by faith. It's telling you the operation that you are a child of God. Verse 27, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, you remember when we've seen over there in Romans chapter 8, when it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what it's doing is confirming that fact that that's conditional over there in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that what's being said here. Now, sure, you're a son of God by faith. You could be called a son of God by faith. But that's not what is being said in Romans chapter 8. Remember, you've got to remember, your justification was already a settled issue by this time in Romans chapter 8. He already dealt with that from Romans chapter 3:21 all the way through Romans chapter 5. He explained to you about your justified standing in Christ. So when you get to Romans chapter 8, he's talking about your sanctification. So, but here in Galatians chapter 3, he's telling you that you are a child of God by faith. And for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So, again, this is the context. This is one rendering we can see how the word child of God can be used, or children of God can be used. It can be used by faith. And that's what most people get out of sonship. They look at that, or the adoption of sons, they look upon it like Paul is only just reconfirming that you are a son, you're a child of God by faith, and you're going to suffer, and just hang in there, and you're going to get your new glorified body soon. That's not what's being said there. That would be missing the whole point of sanctification. That would be throwing sanctification right out of the window. Now, let's come in at verse 28 here. of Galatians 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop there. We know that there is male and female. We know there is bond and free. There's Jew and Greek. But we know that. But Paul is saying in the sight of God, because he just got through talking about in verses 26 and 27, for we are all the children of God by faith. That means everyone. It doesn't matter what you are. Any human being that trusts in what Christ has done for them can be a child of God by faith. There's no Jew or Greek. There's no bond or free, no male or female. But you're all one. You're all one now in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, verse 29, if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that's that promise according to justification. We've been partakers of Israel's spiritual things. That's what Paul tells us in Romans 9 through 11. Is that's how we became, how we have access now through grace. And we have this through Israel's fall. And you are an heir according to the promise. That promise, you're not just an automatic heir, a joint heir with Christ without the suffering, without what's being spoken about in Romans chapter 8, until you are led by the Spirit of God. Now let's come down to chapter 4 here, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And this is the way it was with Israel there, and what Paul is going to show the contrast, the way it was with a son or child, when that child was still under tutors and governors before they became 12 years old or became ready to be educated by the father, they were under tutors and governors. You had a tutor their decision-making and things, their ways. You had schooling and things like that. You had the governor who governed all their decisions, who told them what the father's viewpoint is on this situation or what his heart is on this matter, they were a child. Their decision making was limited. One did the thinking for them until the time appointed by the father. Verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, do you remember over there when we were looking at Romans 8, verse 15, when Paul says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father? Look at what's said here. Verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And then he's going to come down and talk about that adoption. Well, you see that with that bondage, that it's the same thing that's what we're not in anymore. But you have some that, and Paul is going to say later on that there are some justified who want to go back and put themselves under bondage again. Now, again, let's read that again. Verse 3, even so we, verse 3 of chapter 4, even so when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And you notice he says when we were children. And I'm going to amplify upon that in a second there. But verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, I'm going to stop there, but you see what's being said here about that being a son? And verse 3 says, when we were children, we're under the bondage of under the elements of the world. And what he's saying here, he's saying that this is not who you are anymore. You are not children anymore. And this is different here. This is a different type of what he's been. He's not saying you're not children of God by faith. That's not what he's saying. That's not the children that he's talking about there. But then he comes down and says that to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, not just so we might not go to hell and receive justification. No, that he has more for us than just justification. And because we are sons, and this is what we are, if we're led by the Spirit. And that's why he says in verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, Spirit of his Son sent forth in every justified member's heart? Sure. But are they going to enlarge their hearts? Are they going to enlarge their hearts? As Paul mentions over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, are they going to enlarge their hearts and receive that, allow themselves to be led by the Spirit? Well, that's not the case all the time. And it's sad to say. Just look at verse 7 here. Verse 7, Galatians 4, verse 7 here. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And what's said here is that when it mentioned over here about a child in verse 1, that an heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, it's saying you're no more a child. God doesn't want to deal with you as a child. And here, verse 2, but it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. When you become justified, the moment you become justified, now the Spirit of the Son is sent in your hearts, crying out to you to want to cry, Abba, Father. And the time is appointed by the Father that he wants to deal with you as a son and daughter in Christ. And it says here, wherefore thou art no more a servant. That's not how God wants to look at you. That's not how he wants to deal with you as a servant or a child. He wants to deal with you as a son, not as children. And we're going to see in Ephesians 4 how when Paul talks about being not tossed like children tossed to and fro. It's not the same type of children that God would have you to be as. So, again, this is something that we need to take a look at. We need to get a good handle on what's being said here. And let's go to verse 8. How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. And you see that? He's saying that bondage, if you're going into the world, giving yourself over to the world, you're in bondage. You could put yourself under that bondage again. And you know, Paul looks upon this whole thing, the adoption of sons, that you wanted to grow up. But again, this being spoken of a child here, when it comes to your you being an adult son, that's a reproof you being spoken of as a child or children. That's not a good thing to be spoken of as children or child when it comes in contrast to you being spoken of as an adult son. But when you're talking about we are the children of God by faith, no, that's something there that's not a reproof. That's something speaking of the idea that you are a child of God by faith. And also, come over to, since you're in Galatians chapter 4, just take a look at, let's look at verse 28. I just want to look at another terminology of the word children. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Now come down to verse 31. I'm not going to deal with the context there because you can take a look at that yourself there, but it's talking about that promise and by faith and how we're supposed to be ground and rooted, and not by the law. But verse 31, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And this is being spoken of, who were children of promise here. And this has nothing to do with you being as far as sonship here, but it's dealing with ones who want to be under the bondage. But Paul is talking about that liberty that you have in Christ as being a son and daughter in Christ. We have that liberty that we are, which Christ has given unto us and made us free. It's not saying that you're free to just go out and do what you want to. I mean, you can, but why would you? Why would you want to walk that way? Why would you want to abuse what's been given unto you, the privileges that you have? So now with that, let's come over to Ephesians. Matter of fact, let's come back to Romans chapter 8. Let's come back to Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to deal with Ephesians because I want to also use this in contrast again, because what we're doing is we're walking down these verses here in Romans 8. We're at Romans 8:14 there. Let's go to Romans 8, and let's go to verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, when we're dealing with the first, in verse 16 and 17, you're dealing with sonship here. You're dealing with how the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that we're the children of God, and we are. And this children of God that Paul is saying here, that what we are, is it's talking about the overall purpose that God has for us. It's talking about the overall purpose that God, the end all of us being of the household of God in that time, in that day, when this happens here, when we are into the glorious liberty of the children of God, when you see what takes place here, the glory which shall be revealed in us, and that glory is what we're going to see in Ephesians. You don't have to turn there now, but the idea of us being the children of God, as the verse 21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, because we're going to be delivered from that too, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Because you're going to have all things are going to be in one at that time. You're going to have God having his rulership, and you're going to have children. Now, why not sons? Why is this spoken of as children? Well, I'll tell you, because when you're dealing with, and I want you to get this here. I want you to get all of it, but when you looked upon, when God's conforming us to the image of his son, okay, that's what's being done here on this earth. And that's what was spoken of, that's what was thought to be done by Adam, to be a son, to be an extension of what God is on this earth here. And because we're members of the body of Christ, when God sees us, he sees his son. We have that likeness. We're being conformed to the image. If you're being conformed to the image of his son, what does it make you? It makes you a son. So that's why when God speaks of, or through Paul, about sons, he's talking about ones on this earth that will labor with him, that would think like he does, that would work together with him in what he's doing, just as a son, father to son. That's the difference between when it talks about sons versus children. When speaking of that adoption, or as we see here, the glorious liberty of translated the glorious liberty of the children of God. That terminology of that children of God is our vocation. That terminology of the children of God is that overall what's going to be done in times. That's the overall plan, and we will be children of his household, the household of God. So that's the difference there between the son and being a child, being part of the children of God there. So and we're gonna confirm that. We're gonna confirm that there. And you see here in verse 17, it says, well, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And that if so be is conditional. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is glory being revealed in us now, but there also that glorious that glory which shall be revealed in us is going to be a vocation. Ages to come, that doctrine is going to be, that's going to be revealed in us. It's telling us that the creature, the angelic realm, the second heaven, those out in the second heaven, the bodies, the celestial bodies there, they're in a bondage of corruption right now. They're not functioning the way God would have them to function. And they're all patiently waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But once the manifestation of the sons of God takes place, once that's manifested, then you're going to see the creature itself going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now let's come over to Ephesians chapter 5, Well, actually, Ephesians chapter 1. We're running out of time here. Ephesians chapter 1, let's take a look at that issue there. Ephesians 1, let's look at verse 3 for time's sake here. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And last week when we looked at that, I showed that all the spiritual blessings that we have, Paul's going to give you the list of them right there in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, you don't have to guess what all spiritual blessings that we have in heavenly places are, because they're all given to us verse by verse in chapter 1. And you're going to see a couple of them here. We're only going to go down to verse 6, but you're going to see a couple of them here. But that's not what we're after. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's one of them. That's the first one. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That's another one. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's another spiritual blessing that we have in heavenly places. But the list goes on, and all the way down to the end of the chapter, you're being told of all the spiritual blessings that you have. But what I'm after is verse 5. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now, see, this is something that, yeah, this is your possession, and everything you're going to see here in the chapter, except for justification, is something that you're going to get, and you're to look forward to. You're to have that, you're to operate upon that hope doctrine that you see before you. This is what you're supposed to take and operate upon that, and that works patience. That hope worketh patience, and patience experience. But again, that you see what's being used there, have predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And that's what he wants us to be. We have the adoption of children waiting for us. Well, we ourselves are going to be, that's that future vocation. Well, we are of the household of God there. We are part of the adoption of children. Just as we are raised up, we are already seated in heavenly places. That's a possession that we have. It's yours. It's just that it's like for the women out there, you know yourself when you go online, or just say if you go online, for instance, and you order something, as soon as you take your credit card and pay for it, it's yours. You don't have it yet, but it's yours, and you know for certain that it belongs to you now. You know that even if it's going to take 3 weeks to get to you, or even a month, you know it's your purchased possession. It belongs to you. Now, I know you're going to wait by the window or by the door for the delivery driver to get there, the sooner it gets to you. But that's how we ought to operate when it comes to the older we get. We ought to have that zeal because we want that purchased possession that we have. We want to attain onto it. We want to attain onto those spiritual blessings that's being shown in Ephesians chapter 1 here. And any time, what Paul wants us to do is, when we're told in Romans 8 that we are saved by hope, for hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? When we're told that, what he wants you to do is, when you suffer, when the things you go through, And even if you could be going through stress, you could take stress in the one hand, all the things you're going through, and read chapter 1 of Ephesians. You read chapter 1 of Ephesians and say, now which one is more worthy to be compared? Is what I'm going through worthy to be compared with this? And of course, the answer would be no. It's not even worthy to bring it up in the same conversation. But this is what we're told to do. We're told to look at these spiritual blessings that we have. Look at all we've been given. And you take that, and you operate upon that hope. And that will work patience. Now you learn to take that situation, that problem, and you learn to set that thing down. Don't give it so much of your time. Don't give that so much of your time to put that thing away. It's not worthy to be compared in what I'm reading in Ephesians chapter 1. That's mine. And then pretty soon, you'll do that again. That's experience. An experience worth with patience. But, I don't want to get off of that too much there, but you see what's going on here. You see that we've been predestinated unto the adoption of children, which is that whole overall plan that God has, that we be of the household of God, parts of that principalities, powers, mights, thrones, and dominions in heavenly places. Now let's take a look at Ephesians, while we're in Ephesians. Come to chapter 5. Come over to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's take a look at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Okay. And see here in verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as your children. Now, why doesn't Paul say sons? Now, he's telling you to follow God. He's telling you to do this now. And he's not telling you to do it as a, he's not talking about justification there. But what he's doing is he's explaining to you because what you are. And when you look at Ephesians, when you're looking through the book of Ephesians, you're being told about that overall vocation that you have. You're being told about all the aspects there. And we just got through looking at some of it over there in Ephesians chapter 1. And when you get to Ephesians 1, when it comes down to chapters 22 and 23, he explains, actually 21 through 23, he talks about those principalities, the powers, mights, thrones, and dominions. Then when you get to chapter 2, he says, it hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places. Then when you get to chapter 3, he talks about us being able to comprehend the overall plan of God there, knowing all the fullness. Then in verse 11 in chapter 3, he talks about according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4, he tells you about your vocation, that you ought to walk worthy. So what I'm saying here is that you're told already what the children of God is all about. You're already taught about that and about the overall purpose, your overall vocation. So what he's saying here in verse 1 here, he's saying, walk as if you are that. Be ye a follower of God based upon what you've already been given. That's your purchased possession. And he says, and walk in love. And he's explaining that how you ought not walk as the children of disobedience in verse 6. Because the children of disobedience are the children of darkness. And he says here in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. And this is how you ought to be, because this is who you are. You ought to walk as the children of light. Now come over to come to Philippians. We'll run out of time here. Come to Philippians. And I hope you're getting this what's being said here, because it's crucial to understand the differences there. Come to Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 15. Philippians 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Okay? Now, the terminology here is being spoken of as sons of God, or Timothy being a son unto Paul in the gospel. And he explains what a son is. It would be one that's like-minded of his Father. And like he says here, I have no man like-minded. Of course, he has the same thinking, who would naturally care for your state. That's his heart on the issue. He has the same thinking and the same heart as Paul does. That's why naturally care, not just care because Paul sent him and he's supposed to, or that's his job. No, naturally, out of agape love, naturally care for your state. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And he explains here, he says, as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Paul knows that even though Paul can't be there, he knows that if Timothy's there, it's like father, like son. And now let's come back up to verse 15. When he says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, he knows that even when they're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, they should shine as lights because they're sons of God. And he's mentioning sons because he's trying to explain that they ought to be like-minded just like their father. They ought to have the same heart on the issue, just like their father. That's why this is being spoken of here. This is not talking about children. Look at, come to 2 Corinthians. Wow. Come to 2 Corinthians, let's come to chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Got about 5 minutes. We're going to take a look at this and we're going to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at, let's look at verse 11 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. For now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Now, I'm going to stop there. But Paul is saying, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Paul is wanting them to be as though Timothy was, like-minded, having that care, that same natural care. You notice he's beseeching them and that their heart be enlarged. He wants them to be like him, be followers together of him in the Lord. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? I'm going to stop there. You see what's going on here. Galatians, when Paul told the Galatians, you know, you're going and going under the bondage of corruption. I mean, you're going out there under the elements of the world. You're observing times and days and months, and he says his labor's in vain. And he's explaining these Corinthians. He said, don't be equally yoked with these guys. Don't have fellowship with these things, with these people, or those things. And you've seen the Philippians. Paul wanted them to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Paul knew the Philippians had the same enticements that the Corinthians had. That he's telling these Corinthians don't go over and fellowship with darkness, or what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness. There was unrighteousness going on in Philippi. It was going on in Thessalonica. It was going on all around Timothy and Titus and the other believers. But notice what's being said here, verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he with that believer with the infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, God can't receive them in the sense of teaching them if they are fellowshipping with with unrighteousness. Christ has come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord. And to say this here, that's why it says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? In other words, God is light. God is righteous. And he can't have fellowship with you as a son and daughter if you are out there in the world. If you are doing the things that's contrary here. So this is what it means when he wants to conform you to the image of his son, and he wants you to be led by the Spirit. That's why you see there is a difference. It is conditional. Because if you're not, you have justified people who's being spoken of here. That's why he says, come out from among them. He's talking to, and be separate. He's talking to justified people. He said, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and this is what you're going to get. I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And the Lord Almighty is being used there to show his Jehovah-ness and grace and his power and might in the midst of what's being spoken of there, Belial, and idols and unrighteousness and darkness. That's why the word terminology, the word Lord Almighty is being used there. So being led by the Spirit is ones who want to be sons of God, ones that want to take it. So that's what a son of God is. The sons of God, you're being conformed to the image of his son. And that's what's being spoken of here, and that's what's being spoken of in the doctrine there. So if you have any comments or questions about that, I'm going to turn things over to the Q&A session here. *61 will get you into the queue. If you have any comments or questions on the issue, please feel free to press *61. And as you see here in the verses, it's showing that if you do, then the Lord will. If you don't, the Lord can't. You're still justified, but because you're not wanting to cry of a father, because you do not want to labor with the Father, you don't want his heart or his mind on the matter to learn how to enlarge your hearts for what he loves and what he hates, then you're going to be justified. You won't be able to have that father to son relationship that he's given onto us all. And it's important to grasp that. It's very important to grasp that. And some don't grasp it. They're just content with going to church and not being ones who are able to teach themselves. And I say that all the time. When you're looking at Titus, Paul talks about the aged men, how they ought to be examples and how they ought to teach the younger men how they ought to be. The aged women, how they ought to teach the younger women to be. And the only way you're going to do it is by his word, because you know it. You have it living in you. You're mature. There's a maturing factor there. And that's the way it ought to be with us as ones who are professing holiness, ones that are professing that we are conformed to the image of his son. As father to son and daughters. And you see what it says here, I will receive you. Come out from among them. He's telling you, be led by the Spirit. Take that adoption. Again, *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. And next week we're going to pick up verse 29, Romans 8:29. So if you want to get a chance to get a little, jump start on things, we're going to be looking at Romans 8:29, 30, and 31. And 32, we're going to go down. I'm going to see if we're going to deal with this on a section by section or if I'm going to deal with it verse by verse. We're going to see how we're going to deal with that. I'm going to go to the first caller here, 3366, you're in the queue. Well, 3366, you're in the queue.
Hey, Father, I'm at Ron.
Pretty good. How you doing there, sister? How you been?
Giving a contribution about the sons and daughtership. About the son and daughter. I mean, God wants us to become, these ones to become sons. And all the men to become sons, don't you have to become be a mature thing to become a son? What's the difference between a son and a daughter? And the system. Descriptions of sons and daughters, like we all say, the church body in Christ. But don't it depends on how much you are studying your word right and divided. Some may be matured than others, but we all still are sons and in different degrees than sons or daughters.
Yeah. It's based upon how much you want to be led by the Spirit. It's based upon, and I'm going to use the difference between the Corinthians and Galatians. The Corinthians and Galatians, when he spoke to them, they were not operating as sons and daughters in Christ. They were justified, but they were having fellowship with darkness. They were having fellowship with unrighteousness. And that's why Paul was beseeching them to come out from among them be ye separate. And the Lord said, I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. He didn't say that, he didn't just, for him to mention it, he's explaining to them what they have. Come out so God can deal with you as a father, is what he's, what he's telling them.
Right, okay. Come out from among them, and because children is real related relationship to Israel. They're the ones that's called children, correct?
Right.
Right, okay. And Ephesians, he didn't want us to be taught to and for like children to become adult sons so we'd be mature to do what he would have for us to do.
Right. Now, that I didn't go to that. I said I was going to go to that verse, but we ran out of time there about being tossed to and fro like children. Now, that's a reproof. That's not a good thing to be spoken of as being children. But the good thing is the ones over there when he talks about adoption of children, what we're going to have. But he wants us to come from among out from among the darkness of this world. Come from out from among the have a fellowship with unbelievers, and things like that, because there's no good that can come out of your edification. You can't be edified by doing what this world does.
Amen.
You know, and just like what we're doing here, we are having church. We're fellowshipping here right now. But there's other people watching primetime TV, whether it be sports, whether it be reality shows, whatever it is, they're not. I mean, even though this world does that, it might seem like it's right, but it's not right. It's not righteousness. It's unrighteousness. And God can only deal with us. He can deal with us as a father and son and daughter when we're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. We're doing what's well pleasing to him. More
exactly.
than doing what the world is doing. We did that once
Thank
upon
you.
A time, and we still as saints do it because we all mature in different levels. But as we study the world more rightly divided, you know, that's how we grow as sons and be able to have the Spirit of God working us richly.
I couldn't have said it better. Exactly. That's right.
I appreciate you teaching all the time, listening to it and learning and sharing this dynamic message with others. And I heard about the upcoming conference, so I'm just going to I'll let it all go through and hope to see you there.
Okay, definitely, definitely. And I'll keep reminding everyone, and I'll send everyone out a flyer once I get the idea. I'm going to do it over the I'll see how I'm going to do it. I might do it by way of text, and that should be able to get to everyone. So I'll let you know, and I'll send you something on that.
Okay, then, Pastor. And I appreciate your teaching, and God be with you, and have a justified rest of the week. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I appreciate you. Appreciate you. You're listening in and your comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. With that, I'm going to close. And, again, we're going to look at next week. We're going to look at Romans 8. 29 on down to verse 32. So if you will, you can read, you can take a look, listen to that, take a look at that there. And we're going to, that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to be looking at there. We'll go to another caller here, 1877, you're in the queue.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, praise the Lord. How are you doing there, sister?
I'm blessing you.
Oh, I'm doing very well, doing very well. Thank you.
I'm reading from, I read this last night to Pastor Reed, and I'm reading it again tonight. And this is what the Holy Spirit is putting on my heart to keep reading. And I'm reading in Ephesians 4:18. Having your understanding directly alienated from the life of God, the ignorance that is in them, that's the world, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past filling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, that means sin. But you have not so learned Christ. So those that have not learned Christ, even though they're saved and they're walking in their sinful man and their flesh, they just have not learned Christ. I was trying to get this understanding with Pastor Reed last night. I don't know what went wrong, but can you explain that a little bit more for me? I was just wanting to be explained because a lot of people don't, you know, I don't know. The Bible is right. That's all I know. The Word of God is right.
Right, right. Now, which verse were you the whole context you wanted to know about, or the certain verse there?
Ephesians 4:18-19.
Right, right. But I mean, but you wanted to know about the actual the whole context of it then.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. What Paul is saying there, Paul is saying he's explaining how they ought not be, because he's explaining about what they can get caught up in. He's talking about a perfecting that they ought to be as sons, how they ought to be perfected, the perfecting of the saints. And then he talks about in verse 16 about the 15 and 16 about the edifying, about how they ought to be edifying themselves in love, and how they ought to understand that they ought to have that love for one another. And when he's saying that he doesn't want them to walk as other Gentiles, having vanity in their minds, he's saying that he doesn't want them to walk as though they haven't been given this doctrine, and which these other Gentiles walk. They walk, they got their understanding darkened there. So when he says, "But ye have not so learned Christ," he's explaining verse 21. It tells you about it. It says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ Jesus." Because that's another. We got to pay attention to the "if so be." That "if so be," what he's saying is, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as truth in Christ." So when he said, "But ye have not so learned Christ," he's trying to explain to them, if you have learned him, if you've been taught by him, I mean, verse 25, we'll put it in. And he's explaining about that you have not going on. Okay, I was disconnected there. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm going around about that. But what he's saying is, he says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." And he said, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Christ is Jesus." And what he's saying there, to just sum it all up, he's saying that if so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, that you put off concerning. He's saying, if you heard and have been taught by him and learned him, act like it. That's what he's beseeching them to do. Don't be as others who are tossed to and fro. Don't be, he's saying, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's not saying that these saints have not learned Christ yet, but that's why in verse 21 he explains that if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as truth, as the truth is in Jesus. So that's what my understanding is about that, about the context of that, those verses there.
Okay. Well, I'm doing this for myself, nobody else, because the Holy Spirit is dealing with me on these scriptures, different scriptures, about my walk with God. It's very important that you separate yourself from those that are not walking uprightly before. It's going to weaken your faith. And I was reading that in one scripture about our faith being weakened because we're walking with people that are not walking upright.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how Paul gave Peter the right hand of fellowship because he refused to obey the truth and he refused to walk upright. Paul went to the Gentiles and Peter went and disobeyed and went to the law. And Paul had to separate himself because when we don't walk with those that are walking upright, then we bring ourselves in the stage not to walk upright.
Right. That's right.
So it'd be as if we learn nothing from Christ. I mean, it's just if I go back to walk the way my old man used to walk, I'm not learning anything. I'm just still, I'm saved, but I'm not growing. I'm not bearing fruit. I'm not, I'm like a weed or something that's, you know, that's not a barren fruit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to, yeah, that is right. And, but you know what? The one thing, too, I'm going to tell you something, too, is like when Paul says here in verse 21, he says, as the truth is in Jesus, you know, and when he speaks about people being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, the one thing, when you mentioned that word, see, the one thing that can hurt a saint more is bad doctrine. Because even if we were given over to just say alcoholism, or if we're given over to whatever the issue, it could be anything that we're given over to that some people look upon as the lust of this world. Well, you got a better chance of getting out of that and getting rid of that than you would if you're stuck in bad doctrine. Because being stuck in bad doctrine, some can teach that this is Christ. Some can teach that this is God, which is more hurtful for you being as a son and daughter in Christ than being given over to the lustful things of this world. And this is what the context of this is, what he's speaking of, is bad doctrine. Bad doctrine. And then he goes and talks about putting away this and putting away that, but bad doctrine will corrupt your sonship life more than anything.
Well, the Bible also speaks in Galatians 5:18, you are not under the law. And
right.
Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So he don't want us to walk in our flesh and manifest those things that are in the flesh. He
right.
wants us to
that's
manifest
right.
things that are not in the flesh, because we are ambassadors for Christ, and in order to, we have a job to do to save, to see souls come into the knowledge of the truth. So if we're not walking like God say walk, to be an effective witness to these people, and we're doing what they're doing and living like they're living, what effect do we have on them?
Right.
What effect
right.
do we, you know what I'm saying? It's just
yeah.
like if you open your job and people, everybody know, well, that he say, you know, we can talk to him about the Bible. We can go to him about prayer or whatever. Or we can go to him about a Bible study or something, because, why? You're effective to them. But if you're walking like they walking and you're doing the things they're doing, they're not coming to you. Or your family members
right.
not coming to you for prayer or come to you to have a Bible study or anything, because you're not effective to them, because you're doing what they're doing. You're acting like them. You're talking like them. You're walking like them.
Right.
God wants
right.
us to be effective to them, our families and our children, and to those on our jobs and to our neighborhoods.
Right. Yeah, and you can't, it would hurt your testimony and try to talk with them if you are walking like they walk.
Right.
One's won't.
They're souls. They need to be.
Right.
If they should be able to come to you and ask to have a Bible study or to have prayer with them or to be able to sit down and explain something to them, even though they're not saved, you can take them to trust in what Jesus did on the cross first. At least take them there.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that I can do and live any type of life I want to live, which I hear a lot of grace people tell me that, I don't believe it. And you'll never make me believe it in a million years. I can go out here and live my old man and be saved and go to heaven. I might be go to heaven, but I don't know where if I'm going out of darkness, heaven, or heaven where. But I don't think I'm going to go to heaven living back in my old nature, my old man, and doing what I used to do.
Right, yeah. One thing about that is that once we trust in Christ and we believe the doctrine that is given unto us concerning our justification, you are baptized into Christ. You can't lose your salvation. Now, your reward won't be as great as it ought to be, as it could be. And like what Paul was saying, he said, come out from among them. These people were still doing the same thing. They were still partaking. You had fornication going on in the church over there in the Galatians and Thessalonians. But the idea is they were still justified, but they weren't walking accordingly. Well, not the Thessalonians, but the ones that were fornicated, of course, weren't. But the Corinthians, they weren't walking like God would have them to walk as sons. But they were still justified. But in the principalities, powers, might, bills, and dominions, they weren't going to receive a great reward as they ought to. But that's the attitude to have, that we shouldn't go out there. We're not supposed to go out there and just do what we want, what our flesh wants us to do, or what other saints want, or what other people want us to do, you know?
Well, Philemon also says in 1:29 of Philemon, Philippians, it says not only believe on him, but suffer. Some people think
right.
you just have to believe on him, but he said
right.
also to suffer with him. It's not just about believing he died on the cross for my sins. It's about suffering with him.
That's right. That other gift that we have, that's given unto us. That's a gift given unto us to suffer also, to suffer with them. But some won't. And that's just the thing. You got all the saints believe on him, but not all the saints are going to suffer with him, even though it's a gift. But they're still going to be justified just the same. So keep going on and keep being strong in the faith and in the grace, and keep reading God's word and studying it the way we ought to, and keep allowing yourself to be edified. And
right,
you will, you know. And as I see that you have a, and it's good to have questions. It's good to be ones that want to understand this doctrine and want to work it in your life. And that's what we're called to do.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, and I appreciate you calling in. And we're going to be going over more of this doctrine next week about that conforming to the image of his son. It's going to be pretty interesting because to understand what Paul means about us being conformed to that image of his son, being like Christ. So tune in next week, and we're going to go over that doctrine there. And I appreciate you you calling in and listening. I thank you very much and your comments. Appreciate that. And I will talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.